happy to talk to you today, and I don't care if I have a microphone or not, because I'm just so glad to share a little bit, if you look at my time first, a little bit about what the Lord has been doing in my life. And how can you fit such a wonderful, blessed life that I've lived into 10 minutes, I wonder? But I was born at the end of the war, and that's the Second World War. And I was born in Sydney, Australia. My mother was very young. She was only 18 when I was born, and my father was somewhat older, and he was fighting in the in Papua New Guinea, fighting against the Japanese during the war. And when I was 6 months old, I became paralyzed all over with polio because there was an epidemic going through many countries of the world. And there, I believe, the Lord had his hand on my life and destined me to be something that maybe other people would have dismissed and thought, well, what use is she to anybody? Or what purpose can she possibly fulfill? And yet the blessed Lord has put his hand on my life, and I just give all glory for him for what's happened. Because, you know, we come with our attitudes to the Lord with our own agendas of what we think should happen with our life or in other people's lives. And, you know, he has different pathways. Because polio was a contagious disease at that time, I was put in isolation and separated from my mother. And then shortly after that, I was institutionalized for 4 years, and my mother went on to have other children. So I just say to the Lord, thank you that I'm even anywhere near normal in my mind and in my outlook and in the purposes that he's had for my life. I was saved at a Billy Graham crusade, wonderful Billy Graham, when I was about 15 years old, and I went to a big meeting in Auckland in Kailua Park. Did anyone go to that meeting? You know, when I mention this, people all over the country say yes, and there's people saved all over New Zealand from those wonderful meetings at Billy Graham and Kailua Park. And I was about 14 or 15, and I thought, oh good, if I go down the front, I'll get healed. And I was down the front, I got saved, I got the goosebumps, the whole electricity going through my body, and I went back exactly the same way as I went forward, as far as healing goes. And you know, I don't have any answers about healing. I used to have all the answers. You could ask me about healing and I'd rattle them all off, but as I've got older, I don't know. And I have a little story, which is a bit of an embarrassing story to say, but there's a lady that I meet in the supermarket from time to time, quite a well-known, outstanding Christian leader in our community. And she says to me, the Lord bless you, the Lord bless you. When you're going to get healed, you're going to get out of that wheelchair and you're going to have ministry. And I thought, okay. This went on time after time after time. And one day I just got so sick and tired of it. And I said to her, look, if I waited for the Lord to heal me and to get out of my wheelchair and have a ministry, I could wait an awful long time. Why not get on and have a ministry right now? And so that's what I want to say to you today, ladies. Look, the years are going by, time's going by. Your ministry is now. Your ministry is today. There's no time to wait. You know, the Lord bless us tomorrow. The Lord do something tomorrow. We've got a future. We've got a hope. But look, why not turn it around and say now, when your circumstances are right now, do it. As I said earlier, you're not going to have to give me you'll come and give me a push out of the, swing the microphone away. My father, as I said, was fighting in Papua New Guinea against the Japanese. And do you know what? He still fought the Japanese in his mind and in his psyche to the day he died. And I was the first of five children. And I grew up knowing of my father's reaction and some of his complicated things that our war heroes had to face when they came home. And you know what a strange thing the Lord did? When I got saved at that Billy Graham meeting, I began to develop a love for Japan and for Japanese. And that was a bit of a thorn in my father's flesh because I had a Japanese pen friend that would wave it on, you're not writing to those Japanese, I fought them in the war and now my daughter's writing to them. But I have to skip many years here because there's my wonderful husband at the back. Hi there. And when we went to Faith Bible College, the Lord put it in our heart that we would go to Japan as missionaries. And we went around some of the mission organizations and they thought, well, he's only just got saved. He doesn't look a very good candidate. He's only been saved a couple of years. And you certainly don't look like a very good candidate to go to Japan. But you know who called us to Japan? And we were his candidates. And we went to Japan for 25 years. I wasn't in a wheelchair then, but as I've got older, I get more tired and I need a wheelchair the last few years. And I have to miss over, isn't it a shame to miss over all those years of 25 years in Japan? But we came back in our mid-50s because when we went to Japan, I was 28 and Noel was 30. Were you 30? Yeah, I think you were 30. And we had a 7-year-old daughter. And when we came back old. We went with Youth with a Mission, and now I say we went to Youth with a Mission, we were youth, and we've returned youth with a middle. You know, we've sort of come, something's happened in those 25 years. But we've come back to New Zealand, and I have to say, ladies, look, I could have just sat at home and said, okay, Lord, I've done my bit. You know, I can rest on my laurels. I can't tell you the things how the Lord has blessed and what he's done in our life. But when I came home to New Zealand in my mid-50s, I just had a new lease of life. It was like the Lord was saying the latter days are going to be greater than the former days. And I was a bit disappointed in a way because I'd love to have thrown my life into church and here we are, experienced missionaries, senior missionaries coming back. But the Lord didn't open the door within the church. I started to be recognized a little bit in the disability world as somebody who could speak on behalf of people with disabilities. I'd go around different places giving disability awareness training. It'd be so great if the church would be opened up to have disability awareness training, human rights, things like that. And then a couple of years ago, a disability organisation, a very high-profile organisation, I went with one of their members to the local one of our local radio stations. And as a result of all of this, I now have my own show on Community Radio Hamilton, which is a sort of a grassroots. It's not Radio Rima. But when I started it, it was just a little local radio station. I interview people. I love to talk, but I know to be quiet and to listen to somebody else to release their stories. And the honour and the privilege I've had to hear the stories of men and women and volunteers and caregivers and heads of organisations to tell their stories of their heart of compassion just coming out to people with disabilities, children with disabilities, elderly people who need care. And I just sit there week after week behind the microphone, but over here is somebody I'm interviewing. And just a couple of weeks ago, I interviewed a woman, very strong Christian woman, who has prayed for years and years because she's had a leg with cancer. And in the end, just a year and a half ago, she had to have that leg removed. And, you know, she just is a shining, wonderful example of how the Lord has walked through her through the valley of death. And yet, if she came and told the story like I'm telling my story today, you'd think, couldn't the Lord grow another leg there? But what if he doesn't grow another leg? How are we supposed to live? What if I'm not out of my wheelchair? And I just want to challenge you today in closing, just saying, wherever you are now, today, your age, your financial situation. I was talking to a lady today, probably in the meeting, I can't recognize who she is. She said, somebody paid for me to come to this conference, for us to come. Look how wonderful that is. In the middle of whatever her circumstances are, she's here today to be blessed. Now, you could say whatever you like about her finances, you could say whatever you like about her age or your age or wherever you are now, whatever God's doing in your life, look, it doesn't matter to the Lord. Tomorrow it's forgotten. 10 years' time it's forgotten. In 20 years' time you're glorifying the Lord. So when I say forgotten, it's not that it's gone from memory. What I'm trying to say is that let's not hold on to things that should be forgotten. Do you know what I mean? I can't spend my life moaning about, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. You know, all I can say is today let's grab hold of it this very minute. And Lord, I just pray for my sisters here in this room, Father. I just say to you, it's not over till it's over. It's not ended till it's ended. There's life to be lived. The life giver is Jesus. Why not return again today? Why not return again today and say, Jesus, till the day I die, I want to live fully, wonderfully, full of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Edith. Wasn't that wonderful? I mean, we all think we've got complaints about this and complaints about that. But I just go along with Edith. You know, there is so much out there. There are so many people with needs that we can help. We all have gifting. Sometimes you think, oh, I haven't got a gifting. But if you can cook a meal, if you can bake a cake, you've got a gifting. Whatever you can do to help someone else, you've got a gifting. Just to, I don't want to brag, but I'll be 68 in a couple of months. My husband and I have just graduated from 3 years of Bible college. So you see, you're never too old to do these things. And it was a challenge. Yeah. It was a big challenge, but we made it. And we'd never had any tertiary education before that. So if I can do it, you can do it. And just like Edith said, it doesn't matter what problem you have in your mind, you can always help someone else. Now, I shouldn't brag on because we've got our speaker coming, but I just have... Now, you've all got one of these on your seats. Now, I would suggest that you all look at the timetable on this for the meetings. Now, some of the timetables that have come out earlier on are not correct, so you might have a different time. So just check. The ladies' meeting tomorrow starts at 11 o'clock. There is a break, so you're not going to be sitting here from 11 till 4. There is an hour for lunch break. So if you would like, you can put a prayer request in there, and you could either put it in the offering box if you get a chance today, or you can hand it to any one of myself, Diane, or one of the board members, or Phyllis, or Len, and that will be prayed over tonight. So we have this every meeting that we have. We're going to take up an offering shortly, which helps to run all this situation, the venue. We give all glory to God because we just go by what people give. And so you can write that down there. So you can read that and have a look at it. But there's a couple of other announcements. I would just like to... no more meal tickets are available for sale. But if you want to come to the breakfast on Saturday and Monday mornings, you can come to the actual meeting at 9 o'clock. But there are no more breakfast tickets available. Tomorrow the children will be catered for in the gallery area, so that's just over there where the lunch is, and they will be catered for the afternoon meeting and the night meeting tomorrow night. And cafe meals will be available at lunch and dinner time over at the same area. So I think that's all the announcements I have to make. So there's some little bins at the end. I hate that word, pottles. So if you pass them along... And if you haven't come prepared, don't worry about it, because it's just a free will offering, and we're just pleased to get anything. So, Linda, would you like to come forward, please, while we're doing that? Now, I met Linda, I think it was last year or the year before, I'm not quite sure. But I'm not going to tell you all about Linda, because she's going to tell you all about herself. But I did hear her in Hamilton, and it was lovely. It was really lovely to be part of the meeting where her husband and her spoke in Hamilton. So we just pray God's blessing on you, Linda, as you speak. And we just pray that what Linda has for us this weekend, that we will take home and mull over it and say, yes, God was in that meeting. So.
Well, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we welcome you to this national convention where we are truly expecting transformation to take place in our lives. Just as Maureen was saying earlier, life does get busy. There's many responsibilities. But oftentimes when you get to that point, it's the next level that we like to encourage people to bump up into that next level so that life is not as stressed out. There are ways for that to take place. And that's why, Maureen, I'm very excited that you shared that, because these words today will apply to that situation. And I just want to thank Edith so much for sharing from her heart how God has transformed her life into a fruitful ministry that blessed us immensely. And I'm extremely grateful that I had an opportunity to hear such a wonderful, wonderful testimony of God's faithfulness, His provision in your life, and now how that is affecting the lives of others. Well, as you can tell by now, I am from the southern part of America, Portal, Georgia. Now, my husband and I, last year, the month of January, we were in New Zealand. The month of June, we were in New Zealand, and now we're back for 3 weeks this time. We absolutely love the people here in New Zealand. Our hearts are toward you, because we see the hand of God all over your lives. We are around the world ministering. We've had many opportunities to be with a large number of people, and I thank the Lord for that. But this meeting today, being with you these 3 days, is one of the most exciting joys of my life. Because of the season, because of what God's placed in my heart, of what He is accomplishing in these days. God's heart is toward New Zealand. Because He knows that your heart is toward family. Your heart is toward this land. Your heart is also toward the nations. I believe He will start something here that will spread out throughout the nations. His season is now. And Edith, that's another thing, and Maureen, that you both mentioned about. It's now. The season is now. It's not, well, one of these days it's going to happen. No, we're in that season of now faith. To see greater things than we've ever seen in our entire lives. And so it's a season of preparation to get us ready for those things that he's about to unleash in our midst. As I ride through this area, I get the same feeling that I had when I was in Israel, in Jerusalem. And I was like, Lord, what is that feeling about? Why am I experiencing that when I'm here? And then in some of my research that I was doing while I was here, it said that Jerusalem was transformed. That's one of the cities that was transformed by the power of God. That's what I see taking place in our midst. For all of us, there are winds of change. The old ways aren't working like they used to, which is requiring something new. Winds of change in families and the communities, in our gatherings in business. Even businesses are changing. And what I see in the business world is that the Lord is knocking on the door and saying, okay, men and women have struggled immensely with the call of God on their life, but God had put a passion for work, a work ethic. And they couldn't balance out this thing between their work and their call to follow the Lord. That season is changing, and what he's doing now is saying, okay, men and women of God that have a business, I want to bring the Spirit of God into that business. And he's going to be showing us together how he's going to accomplish his plans and purposes even in the business world. We know the heart of God is family, and that's why I'm so excited that we have men and women and children in our meetings this week. And Maureen, as you read that scripture, Psalms 133 is one of my favorites. It talks about the unity when the brethren, it talks about the brethren. I studied Hebrew and it said brethren means men, women, and God. But in the culture, they just said brethren. So he expects to have men and women and children together, because when we are together in unity, that is when the Lord commands the blessing to come forth. And this particular book, The 2-Minute Miracle, my husband and I have written this to share with you examples of family and friends and people that we know that have actually experienced hearing from God, obeying what they heard, and these are the results of them walking into their abundance of blessings. Because the Lord said He came to give us life, but He also came to give us abundant blessings. So we'll be talking a great deal about these kinds of things. The two-minute miracle, the reason it's called that is because it only takes a couple of minutes for people to be totally transformed by the power of God. So one of the things that is a passion within my heart is teaching people how to hear from God. So today, the title of this is Hearing God, because it's an active word, hearing. You will be hearing things from God yourself, even this very day, as we're sitting in this meeting. God used to just speak to the prophets of old, or the priests, or the pastors, or something like that. But this is changing. He is now speaking to each and every one of us, so that we will know whether to go to the left, go to the right, or what we are supposed to be about. When we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of our life, that's when we begin that intimate journey with the Lord. So some may say, well, I just don't ever hear Him like some people do. If you're saved, you have started your relationship with the Lord. But just like all of us, there's so many things that can get in the way that relationship just may be, it may seem silent at times. But our journey together today is we're going to learn more about how to specifically hear from God and know the importance of things like the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and actually demonstrating it. We're no longer spectators. We are active in the kingdom of God. We are to be active in the kingdom of God. So, if you can hear from God, it's very similar to prophecy. I mean, in order to prophesy, you've got to hear from God. In order for you to lead and guide your family, you've got to hear from God. In your business, if you want to experience the abundance, you need to hear from God. So, in my opinion, it's an extremely important area of our lives. You want to go there? You want to learn more about hearing from God today? Our scripture is John 16, 12 and 13. John 16, 12 and 13. The Lord would say, I have yet many things to say to you, but you just can't hear them all right now. There's so many things that I want to say to you, but you just can't hear them all right now. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He's not going to speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He shall show you things to come. I do see those things that are to come. Some have called it a forerunner spirit. Whatever it is, I see those things that are to come. And that's why sometimes it's so hard. It's like, I'm seeing this stuff, but then trying to walk it out in a practical way. And I think that's why it's so exciting that the Lord is putting together couples, not just couples, but He's putting couples with apostolic prophetic giftings. Those two work together hand in glove. The apostolic brings love and unity into an atmosphere. They know how to fit things together and make them work and make them happen. Those prophetic giftings hear from God clearly, and they are eager to see God's people activating and being released into working hand in hand together. You have an awesome, awesome package from God. Now, He's using people that are not married, but you team up with another person for accountability, and also for the second reason that when somebody is either receiving their miracle, they're giving God the glory. And that's one of the main reasons we're here today, is giving God all the honor and all the glory for this opportunity to be together and to talk about how great and awesome He is. I have found that many Christians are just shocked when they hear someone say, God spoke to me. They're just shocked. Like, oh, come on. But this is surprising to me because the Scripture says that the Holy Spirit was sent for the purpose of talking to us to let us know about the things of God. So this teaching today examines how we can hear God speak to us personally. Let's look and examine three areas of hearing from God. So what I want to do is tell you where you're going, and then I'm going to come back to each one. We want to know, how does God speak to us today? We want to look at some of those ways He speaks. What kinds of things does God say? And what is needed to hear from God? And then we want to apply that to our lives and listen and hear and expect a miracle to take place in your life so that you can be transformed without stress, transformed with peace for the circumstances and the situations that you're in. I bless each one of you before we even start that you will receive your transformation of peace and abundant blessings from God. So one of the ways that God speaks is through, you can take some notes now, the written word. The second way is through the spoken word. The third way is through the revealed word, which is a rhema word, a specific word for your situation. And fourthly, circumstances to confirm. Now let's take each one of those and examine. The written word of God is called the Logos. That's what this is. This is the Logos Word of God. You can read it in your head, but if you reflect and meditate on it, it'll go down into your heart. Some of the things that you can expect, some of the manifestations of reading the Word of God, you can expect that your faith level will just rise. You can start believing it's not just going to happen to your neighbor, but you're going to get your miracle. You'll begin to realize that you can have victory over Satan. You'll learn that you can walk in holiness. Your mind will be renewed. You'll have a cleansed mind by washing your mind with the Word of God. You'll be able to overcome sin and temptation. That is when you hide the Word in your heart. You'll experience peace. You'll experience joy when you meditate and reflect on the Word of God. Because I came to you today with joy in my heart, with the Word of God on my lips, and a passion in my heart to see you transformed into that situation that you know could be transformed for God's glory. It's that there's a passion for me because I see in the spirit realm how you can move from where you are right now to things working in order and peace and joy and abundance. I want to share a personal story briefly, because you'll hear about this more later this weekend, of how the Lord, through me reading these scriptures, how He planted a seed of faith in my heart. This particular piece of paper is the exact piece of paper that I used when I was needing my miracle. I was in a very desperate, hopeless situation. I could not feel touch for for 7 years in my life. The largest organ in my body shut down. The isolation, the helplessness, the hopelessness that I experienced was something that I can hardly put into words. But during that journey, the Lord planted a seed of faith inside of me as I was just reading the Logos word. I just started putting on paper some things that made a difference in my heart. One of the things was, with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. This was the main scripture that saw me through my crisis. If everything is possible, then my situation must be possible. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. James 1:6. So these kinds of scriptures, things about faith and healing that would cause me to receive a miracle. So my life did hit a major speed bump in April 1975. When I became a victim of a rare condition of total body numbness. There were many interviews, there were many trips to the doctors, and medical prognosis. And one situation even lasted 4 months. I mean, at the time I had a husband and two small children. I went in September, had no long, thinking it'd be a week, 10 days, maybe 21 days. It turned to be into the next year, which was from September to January, 4 months. During this time of physical, emotional, and spiritual upheaval, the Lord planted a seed of faith that He could heal me, but He also planted a seed of faith that He would. He says, Linda, you are in training for my purposes. Even Maureen was talking about, you know, we have our own plans, but God has a plan for our life. He says, now you are in training for my purposes. Well, if we can find meaning and purpose in what we're going through, it helps us to cope. So for me to hear from God in my desperate situation brought me incredible hope. But you get the picture. That was quite a word for a Southern Baptist pastor's wife. We believed miracles were not for today. You couldn't get your healing. That's what we taught. And God is speaking and telling me something different. Immediately after God spoke, I began an intensive self-discipline program of Bible study and prayer. For me, it was my spiritual boot camp. This prepared me for a conference that was coming. It was three states away. It took me quite a while to get there. I invited my husband to go with me, but he had a deacon's meeting. He couldn't get away from a meeting, and he just says, well, honey, you have my blessings to go. This was Charlotte, North Carolina, where a man of God, it was Dr. Kenneth Hagin. Some of you may know him. He's dead now, but at the time, he was the man of God that God used. See, up to this point, the 4 months in the hospital, they had asked for my complete history. Traumas, stress. Tell them your pastor's wife, you know. All the stress of being a pastor's wife, mother of several children, two children. These are stressful things, they can be. But the Lord said, you're to go to this seminar. He built my faith up. This is when those, from January to April, 4 months of, I had closed down all those things that I'm a very active, busy lady, and I love life, and I squeeze every ounce out of living. But I laid those things down. I says, I'm on a serious journey here with the Lord. I'm going to find out some things that I don't know, and nobody seems to know how to help me get there. But together with the Lord, I'm going to find my answer. January to April, my faith level was so high. I started talking things like, told my husband, now I'm going, and I'm coming back healed. I told my children, now I really took a risk telling these small children, Greg, Laura, I'm really sorry for all the things that you've had to deal with your mom's illness and sickness, being in the hospital for 4 months at the time, just leaving you for dad to take care of you. Look, I believe I'm going to find some answers in this seminar. I'm going to come home healed. I started talking like a fool. I mean, you know, we really, the thing that talks about the scripture says you'll seem foolish to people. I not only seemed foolish to my family, I felt foolish myself saying those things. But my faith level had gotten to the point that I was believing it. I really was. So I got to the meeting. There were 3,000 people there. And they just asked for if anybody wants a miracle or healing, just come up front. They didn't ask my history. I mean, they didn't ask what your problem was, what category it was in. They didn't ask any of those things. Just, if you want a touch from God, just come on down. Southern Baptist pastor's wife. I had on my white suit. 80 people lined up across the front. Now, you get the picture. See, I didn't know anything about being filled with the Spirit. I just didn't. I had been sheltered in the Baptist life. When I was touched on the forehead, touch and the power of God was stirring around in my body. But I walked back to my... I was sitting on the back row back there, way back, because I was scared of some of that stuff. You know, I was like, I'm just here, but I'm just inside the door here. And I walked all the way to the back, and I remember distinctly feeling this doubt coming in. Well, I really thought it was going to happen, Lord. But this doubt, like, see, it didn't happen to you. It happens to everybody else, but you're not going to get it. That's what was going on in my head. I remembered those scriptures that says, if you have any doubt, you're not going to get it. I said, doubt, get out of my life. I know I'm going to get my healing. I know I'm going to receive a miracle. I drove back to the motel, staying by myself, drove by myself over there. That was a miracle within itself. Some of us have a hard time with directions. You know, sometimes that's the greater miracle God did. You know, he got me there and all this kind of stuff. So I said, Lord, I know what's going to happen. I'm just so excited. I was just basking in the fact that I'd been touched on the forehead. This power was surging around in my body. I called my husband, Lynn. Any change is good in a crisis like that. It's like, I don't know what's happening to me, but something's changing inside of me. I know I'm just experiencing something wonderful. Hung the phone up. It's not a cell phone. That was back in 82, April 21st of 82. Put the phone back, and immediately the power of God manifested himself in my life. Touch was restored. I had 7 major things wrong with me. I had a growth on my hand that went up at least an inch, came back down. I had a potassium deficiency just from being a war buddy. I mean, you know, Lynn and I were like war buddies. I could even go shopping at the mall and just collapse. The stress was just too much for my mind and body. I had a breast tumor that was documented with a surgeon. He says, Linda, you have victory. Before I went, he says, you have victory today, but within 6 months, you'll probably have to have surgery. That breast tumor was totally healed. I've had checkups since yearly, and there's still a miracle took place in my life. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, didn't even know what it was. I started speaking in tongues and had to find out what's happening to me. Why am I talking like this? I'm saying God just took this Southern Baptist girl and turned her upside down. But I'm here to tell you that that particular one moment, one touch from the hand of God, not only transformed my life, our family, our ministry. We only lasted about 6 weeks in our church when I got back because my friends didn't understand me. I started losing my friends. The church didn't understand me, we just left because they just didn't understand. It was like we turned into somebody they didn't understand. So 6 weeks after I had this major event in my life, we left. We've had some very large churches in our life with several, many people on staff. And the Lord just said, lay it down. It was like this tree with all of these leaves, and they just started shedding off of me. And you feel stripped and naked at that point. I mean, it's like, oh, God, what are you doing? It was a wonderful feeling, but I didn't know how to function, you know, until I had to relearn a lot of this. So the only thing I needed to do was to call together in my home those friends that believed in me. My husband believed in me when no one else did. He says, Linda, I don't know what's happening to you. I know the doctors don't understand, and they may not even know how to fix it. But I believe in you. That was a blessing. He blessed me and didn't even know he was blessing me. Because I had all those fears of, does he need to have another wife? I mean, we need to get another mother for our children. I mean, you know, I just felt like professionally I was losing it. My family life was falling apart. And it was a tremendous struggle. But I'm here to say to you that the power of God was stronger than that. And that great physician is here today so that you too can experience the hand of God that brings peace and order and love and unity into your situation. So what I'm saying is that happened through putting the Word of God in me. And that's one of the smallest ways, you know, in terms of Lord, way down there. A specific word is even better. But mine was just putting a little seed in there. It's all it took to sprout. Now let's take a look at the spoken word. Number two, the spoken word comes through preaching, teaching, and prophecy. You may get a specific word that's spoken to you for a certain situation. Now let's take a look at the revealed word, number three, the rhema word. These things come through dreams, visions, or a specific word to you. I want to share with you briefly how I experienced a rhema word. My mom and dad are still alive. I just have a wonderful heritage with my family and Lynn's family. And my daddy was scheduled for back surgery. And, you know, when you're in your 70s, having back surgery is always risky. Now, I'm living 2 hours away, and I'm just having, you know, not good night's sleep. And God gives me this rhema word in the night. I'm always wondering, well, Lord, why don't you give me a week's notice? You know, it's the night before Daddy was to have 8 o'clock surgery 2 hours away. And like I've said before, directions are not my thing. I mean, you know, going somewhere in a different city is just not my thing. But my husband's, that is. But he had responsibilities in the church. He couldn't get away that day. So I was like, here I was again, back on my own, trying to figure out. When I woke up that morning at 5:30, I told Lynn, I looked like I was a soldier going to war. I mean, you know, I woke up with my eyes just like fire. I said, Lynn, God spoke to me last night, and he said that he wanted to heal my daddy before surgery. Well, I'm like, do I just tell him on the phone? Do I go? But the passion inside of my heart was, I'm to leave and drive the 2 hours, get through the morning work traffic. We lived in the capital, Atlanta, Georgia, the capital city, and had to go to another large city. When I get there, I arrived, which was a miracle, but that's another part of the story. My mother and my sister, that's 10 years younger than I am, were in the room with Daddy. Now, here's a key point. They're saved, they're Southern Baptists, but believing in what I was about to say, they might have had a little doubt. So I just, as mother, and I asked my sister Sharon, I says, could you just give me a little time with Daddy before he has surgery? I'm looking, these are the natural circumstances. He's scheduled for surgery in 15 minutes. Time, the clock was ticking. So I said, okay. They gave me this time in the room with my daddy. And I said, Daddy, I had this dream about you last night. I didn't give all this religious terminology, you know. It's, Daddy, I had this dream about you last night, and I had this very same Bible. And I said, I believe that the Lord wants to heal you before surgery. I spoke again my faith. He says, well, let's pray. We don't have much time. He's a very, very funny man. And so I laid the Bible. He was in the bed. I laid the Bible on his chest, and I said, Lord, I am so grateful that you've given me a miracle. And you know how much I love my daddy. And I want a miracle for him too. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, 10 minutes later, the doctor, now, which is unusual, that the doctor walks in with the x-rays. He walks in, "Mr. Alford, you ready for surgery?" And my daddy's a very honest man. He says, "Well, you know, my daughter just came, and she prayed for me, and I feel different." "Well, Mr. Alford, let's just see if you can move out of bed." So daddy's slow, you know, taking his time. He moves his legs off the bed. You would have thought he was in an aerobics class. He took his hands, went from here all the way down to his knees and back up. "What do you think, doctor?" You know. Hey, the doctor was saying, "Well, Mr. Alford, you know, your surgery is risky at your age. It looked like something happened, but if it didn't, you will be back." My mother packed those bags so quick, out of that hospital in no time, and my daddy is still healed and set free from whatever was about to happen to him. So we give the Lord all the honor and the praise and the glory, because he is a wonderful, awesome God that loves us so much that somehow he doesn't look at times and schedules, apparently. But when I get to heaven, I want to talk to him about that. "Why did you tell me so late? You know, but I'm so grateful that you did this." So that's another example of a rhema word, a specific word for a specific situation. Now, my daddy tells everybody that will listen to him about his miracle. He was a Southern Baptist church treasurer as long as I can remember. But he's now making them understand about miracles. So the fourth way that we can know that God speaks to us is through circumstances that confirms in our spirit some things that are going on. He may open a door for you that just exactly what he placed within your heart. Now, the big number two, we've got the three major areas we're going to deal with. The second one is, what kinds of things does God say? Get the picture now. He speaks to all of his children, not just leaders. Now, you understand that. It's a paradigm shift now. For a season, we expected the prophetic people to get it and give it to us. He's speaking to each of us now. He speaks guidance. Number two, he challenges us. And number three, he encourages us. One, the guidance, he gives us guidance in the now, but he also gives us guidance into the future things. When I was talking to you about how God is wanting to get into the businesses and put biblical principles in order in the businesses, you've got to start out with a Christian leader and let that Christian leader begin to put those godly principles into the business, and it will prosper beyond your wildest means. Number two, he challenges us. Sometimes he'll ask you to do things like Edith was talking about, things you would never believe he would want you to do. That was a challenge for her. Number three is he encourages us. That's the way you tell if a prophetic word is true. It edifies, it builds up, it encourages us to move out into the things that God has for us. Now, the next big heading, number three, is what is needed on our part to hear from God. First of all, is a relationship with him. To be saved, to be born again, is that number one prerequisite. If you want to have a journey with the Lord, even today you have an opportunity to tell someone in this room, "I want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life so that I can have this relationship to know what his plans and purposes are for my life." It gives us the authority to use the name of Jesus. When we're saved, it gives us the authority to plead the blood of Jesus over our homes and families and communities and over the nation. To walk through into our full purposes. Salvation is a process. I mean, you start out You say yes, you yield. As you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then you are yielding more of your life to God. You know, you're saying, okay, God, I know you have plans, but you're yielding and saying, here I am, Lord. How do you want to use me? I'm available for your purposes. That intimacy with the Lord, to know his heart, to know his ways, takes intimacy in families to know their ways, to know their heart. It takes time with the Lord. I don't know why it took 7 years before I received my miracle. God is doing a quicker work today. Be encouraged. He's doing a much quicker work because the ordinary people that God is using today are getting stronger, being built up in the faith so that we can encourage one another, and it's happening quicker. Number three is listening. Believe that you're going to hear. The Lord spoke to my husband and said, there are three things that I want God's people to do as they are listening. He says, first of all, I want you to wait before the Lord. He says, I want you to get a pen and paper, and I want you to write down what you hear. Because if you don't have pen and paper, you may not be expecting to say much. Maybe like a text message. What if he does more than a text message? You may need a pen and paper. And then we are to obey what we hear. So you want to wait before the Lord, have a pen and paper, and then the courage to obey what he says. So as you are listening, it's not all talking. We're good at talking to God. But the hard part is listening, waiting for him to talk to us. The fourth way that's needed here now is time. As you know, we want to be tested with time. He'll speak a word and you'll say, does this line up with my spirit? If it lines up with your spirit, it has been tested. Got to have the Word of God lined up with your Spirit of God in order for the balance. So for this balanced life, we want to be immersed in the Word of God. We want to be accountable to the body of Christ. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This will give us balance in what we're about. So my question to you today is, why is it that people encounter God in a time of great need, a personal crisis, more than any other time? I've reflected on that. Why is it, if you're in a crisis, somehow or another, you just finally get to the point where you do hear from God? I think the answer is very simple. Crises are situations that we don't know how to handle. But they must be solved for our survival. Therefore, in a crisis, you're eliminating. My friends aren't helping me. My church is not helping me. My doctors aren't even helping me. So you get all these paradigm shifts. It's like, this thing is bigger than this, so I have got to put all that aside, spend some time with God, and get some answers. Then when you come out of that situation, you're able to relate in a greater way with your friends, your family, your church, and your community. Because God wants us to love him and love others. So our desperation, coupled with our inability, our weakness, and our need, makes hearing from God an absolute necessity. That's why there's passion in my heart for you to hear from God, that your ears would, I want to just bless you now, that your ears will just be opened up to hear from God words that will line up with the Word of God. They will line up with the Spirit of God. They will bless you. They'll bless your families. They'll bless everybody that the Lord brings into your path. Because you expect, every time you wake up in the morning, you expect to hear from God. And I will say that God has gifted me to hear from Him, but there's something about, maybe that's another reason that I love being in New Zealand, is my husband and I both get incredible fresh revelation when we're here. Incredible. You would think, oh, so easy, just do what you've been doing. Well, sometimes what you've been doing doesn't work in some situations, you know, and God is saying, this is what I'm speaking to you in this area, this nation. And that is that there's winds of change coming. He's bumping you up to the next level because He's using an army of ordinary people. No longer is it big name people, prophets seasoned in the world. He's using average, ordinary people to accomplish His purposes. So what it means is letting go of what you're about now, embracing the next level, because you know you can see what the next level is. The hardest part is letting go of what you're involved in now. Some of you are to stay where you are and do what you're doing. But others of you, and you've got to hear from God to know which ones you are. But I've just now blessed you that your ears will be open to hear from God. My blessing for you now is, and this has been the cry of so many people that we have heard, is we want to be released to hear from God and obey what He says. I've been given the authority by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to accomplish this in our meetings, that you have the structure of the Lord and the authority of the Lord that you want to obey. But it's like, how do I get released to do this? Who do I talk to? You want somebody with flesh and blood on them to be able to move to that next level. So by the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I release you into your area of transformation so that as you walk into that, you will have the peace, the order, the passion to do what you're doing. Just let that seep in. Let that seep in. One of the ways that you can tell specifically that God is speaking to you is what you're doing right now has been very, very exciting and adventurous, and you've been very much into it. But now it's beginning to feel a little heavy. It's beginning to feel a little like it's just the joy is not there. The energy is not there for it. If that is happening to you, that is God speaking to you saying, He's got another level for you to get into. Apostolic people are able to do it all. I mean, you can do it all. Every gift in the church probably operates through you. So therefore, if you can do it, just do it. But the Lord is saying, as you're being released, you can release an area. Jane, how about, could you do that? Plus, God is already moving on their hearts. Most of the time, they come up to you and say, I would just love to be able to do that. You may have to teach them a little bit, show them a little bit, but most of the time, God has been preparing them all along to take segments of what you're already doing. So I bless you to experience more fruit than you have ever experienced before, whether it's on your job, whether it's in your family, or whether it's what you've been doing in your community, serving people. When in our families, one of the most important roles that we have is affirming, loving, blessing, lifting up. See, that's our role. And our time together, we'll be teaching you more, not only how to hear from God, but what are some of the tools that I have that I can manifest this into fruit in my family, in my job. And that is the scripture. When there's unity, that is where the Lord commanded us to bless. So, You may be able to think about one of your children that you know specifically. They're just like I saw an 8-month-old baby down these streets yesterday. The baby was just singing. Well, that destiny is a joy of songs in that baby's heart. And if a mother is able to affirm that child in that, they grow up much quicker into the ways of God. Many would think, well, I've got to either take them to church to let somebody teach them there. But the greatest spiritual transformation needs to take place in the home. Husbands and wives need to be feeding each other. I learn a great deal from my husband, but I also like to teach him some of the things that I know. So we want to just keep stirring up the things that are making a difference in our lives so that we can make a difference and transform whole cities for God. Transforming whole cities for God. So the great tragedy is that most of us only come to God in crisis. We move from crisis to crisis and never learn that we need Him and His words for every part of life. Until hearing God becomes vital to you and to me, we are not likely to learn to hear either quickly or correctly. See, if winds of change are happening, and they are. I mean, even your little windmills, I mean, that is, if you look in the natural, that's change. But He's also doing the same thing in our hearts and families. So it's time to release people to bring in the Lord's harvest. You will receive an impartation of supernatural power as we hear what the Lord is saying, and we are obedient to put them into practice. And also those that are hearing this through recordings today, you too will experience an impartation of supernatural power. If you remember, Acts 1:8 says, now just wait until you are endued with power, and then I'll just let you transform areas. Well, this is your day to be transformed by the power of God. You are wonderful leaders in God's army. I am so grateful for you, and just see the passion in your heart to accomplish so many things for God. But I just ask the Lord to refresh you by His Spirit, that you will know that it's not by might of power, but it is by His Spirit that He builds you up and others that come into your path. Most of us know that even when we have families and children, that we just can't hear it all at once. The Lord has designed it so that He's made provision for just teach you a little here, teach you a little there, encourage you a little here, guide you a little bit there, because He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit to do this for us. The magnificent presence of the Holy Spirit surrounds us with His love. This relationship strengthens us as He dialogues with us. We are no longer limited. We're no longer limited. You've been released now. Whatever limitation you experienced before, you are free indeed. Free indeed. So that you now can carry those words of healing and guidance and encouragement to others. How many of you feel you need a fresh touch from God? Yes. A fresh touch from God. Some of you are needing physical and emotional healing. The blessing can do that. Friends blessing friends, spouses blessing spouses. You may say, well, my husband doesn't know how to bless me. You'll learn this weekend how to do it. And you may be teaching him. As you bless him, he's learning how to bless you. It will flow back into your life. You've learned the importance. You've known the importance. And many of you are filled with the Spirit, but you know to activate that. Because when you don't know how to pray, it bypasses your brain, and you're able to pray spirit to spirit with God to find answers to things you're crying out for. Bondages will be broken off of your life. You know, Isaiah 10:27 says that the anointing of God is His love, His power, and His presence. That's what the anointing is. His love, His power, His presence. That anointing destroys the yoke of bondage on your life. So if you need a fresh touch from the Lord, as we give you an opportunity even this very day to come forward and receive a fresh touch from Him, what is taking place in your life is many gifts operate through you, but sometimes they just get worn down. They need picking back up. This empowerment, this release, whatever you want to call it, it is the Isaiah 10:27, the anointing of God that destroys the yoke of bondage that's in your life. I want you to begin to desire it, expect it, and believe now, not looking at neighbor left or right, but that it can happen to you. That you'll have fresh oil running over to bless in an abundant way. So what I'm going to ask is that as you come forward, just 10 at a time, just across the front, by the power invested in me by the Holy Spirit, I want to ask the Lord that what He's got all the gifts in me, I want to deposit them into you. And it's whatever you need for whatever situation, it's there when you need it. As you activate it, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Because our gifts are gifts. In a kitchen, it would be like a full-stocked pantry. For men, it would be like you've got tools in your toolbox. All the tools you need to accomplish God's plans and purposes. You've heard me share how one touch transformed my life. The power that was present that very day that did all of this in my life, that power resides, it's stronger in me today than it was then. And it's here freely to be given out to you so that it will manifest in your life in documentable ways. You'll be able to document that from this day forward, your life is producing increased fruit more than you've ever imagined before. So before we do this, I just want to thank the Lord for this wonderful opportunity to meet you, to get to know you, to stir up inside of you a joy in your heart, the Word of God on your lips, and the passion that's carried out as a flaming fire that sometimes burns up what's old and gives you a fresh start to be all that you can be for our Lord.